Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host, and I have an extraordinary gospel artist on the line with me, Mr. Byron Cage. You know, you've been in the recording business how long, Byron?
Twanda, can you believe it? Next year it will be, we're in 2005. Yeah. I recorded my first record in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the Air Gospel label. So now here we are in 2015. So it's over, been over 20 years now.
My God. Is this what you wanted to do?
You know, it really is. I mean, I started as a background singer first and a writer for different people in the gospel industry. And then the Lord blessed me to begin to be asked to do different things. And when somebody noticed me, named Chris Squire, and he asked me to be on the Air Gospel label through his deal. And Alan Freeman at the time was the president, and he wanted me to be signed directly to the label. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all started. I think after both of those two records had its, you know, success and the videos and stuff. But it wasn't really until I got a chance to do Shabak, full gospel, that got the attention of Vicky Matlatea, who offered me a deal. And then I followed up with Yet Praise, and she said, oh, yeah, you got to do a record. So she introduced the producer to me, who I already knew, but I didn't know his producing skill. And he wrote a little song for me called Presence of the Lord is Here, and boom.
That was it.
Yeah,
I mean, we knew of you in Atlanta because you were the minister of music at
New Birth.
Right, at New Birth. Yeah. So, I mean, and we knew about you.
I really wow at that because it was an amazing time. And I say, not that New Birth is not in the golden era anymore, but I was in the golden years of New Birth when he was over on Snapfinger Road.
Yeah.
And when I first got there, he wasn't a bishop yet. He was Reverend Eddie Long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 24. And it was hysterical. The chapel only sat, I think, 500 or 600 people.
Wow.
And they were having like 3 or 4 Sunday services. It was jam-packed, but, you know, we were all just happy. And then when we built the new sanctuary right next door, it's just there's so many great, fond memories. You know, people used to come to the church like Evander Holyfield. He came to one of my release concerts there. We had a lot of athletes and, you know, different entertainers would just pop up, and it was just it was a great family church doing great things.
Yeah. You recorded live at New Birth Cathedral, 2003 or so?
Yeah, I recorded Presence of the Lord in 2002. It came out in 2003, And then I also did the follow-up CD, the Invitation to Worship.
Yeah.
I did that one, you know, at New Birth as well, both of those.
I mean, really, and it was funny because it was like you just popped on the scene, but when we look back at your history, we knew, like I said, in Atlanta, we knew you, but we knew you had done something with the Full Gospel choir, you know, you've been at Morehouse, you were in the Glee Club there, so you were like an Atlanta fixture.
Yeah, I came in 86, actually, on a scholarship, a full scholarship, and then, of course, I got a chance to meet Reverend Eddie Long, because I went to one of these Bible studies that had 10 people during the 12 o'clock noon hour. And it just the history that I have here, people always ask me, you know, where are you from? I tell them I'm from Detroit, but I lived in Atlanta so long, I really kind of, you know, claimed Atlanta more so as my home. Even though I lived in D.C. for 17 years, I still always had a residence here in Atlanta. And, Atlanta is my kind of place, man. I love Atlanta. I love the melting pot of cultures and food and ethnic groups and just, it's just a great city to live in.
It really is. And a great city to be a musician in. I think it's tough for the up-and-coming musicians, but it's a great place to be a musician.
It really is. Yeah. And there are a lot of opportunities that are here. That's why I would encourage people. One person might say no, but go to the next door.
That's right. Keep
go
going.
Go to the next door. Mm-hmm. And everybody's not going to say no. You got to understand the resiliency that you have within yourself and your mindset that says, oh, yeah, I'm going to get it today. I speak positive things out of my mouth every single day because I just believe that God has something new for me. God has something fresh that he wants me to do. And I just want to pursue it. I want to pursue my destiny passionately.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like going from, you know, singing background to being in the forefront and, you know, commanding, I think, the spiritual things that come along with that when you step into that forefront?
You know, it's something that I know. I knew I wanted to do for a while. You know, watching my favorite gospel artists when I was growing up, like the Winans and B.B. and C.C. Winans and the Clark Sisters and Walter Hawkins and Love Alive Fellowship and James Cleveland and Keith Pringle and Donald Vales. I mean, I grew up in that era watching those guys. And so when I began singing choirs and doing backgrounds for Thomas Whitfield, You know, I knew that this is what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. but I just had to wait until my season of my time to step out and do what God called. And when God calls you and anoints you and you wait on his season for your life, no man can tell you that. There is not any person out there that can take the credit for what the Lord has done in my life but God. He's the one who gives the increase. You know, he may use man to help in this posture or with this song or this, but it's ultimately it's God who sustains you, because if you let a man do it, a man can take you down as well.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about, you know, your writing process when those songs hit you, when the Lord gives you or downloads those things into you. What happens? Are you in the bathroom? Are you on a plane? Are you, you know, people talk about different places.
Man, you know, I could be almost anywhere, and the Lord will drop something in my spirit. I like even a song like no other that I wrote. I was in my office, and the first part that I got was, and I said, oh, I like that. So I have a piano in my office, and I wrote that part, just that one part first. Mm-hmm. And then I kept writing for the first part. I kept writing different things that I didn't like. And then I came up with the last one, like no love. Like no one. And I said, I love that. It kind of reminded me of I Will Bless the Lord a little bit. And so then I said, I finally came up with that whole piece and put it all together. And I called Daniel Weatherspoon, of course, who's a Grammy Award when he produced this, Donald Lawrence, Stevie Wine, just so many different artists, Krishan Mitchell. So I told him, I said, hey, man, I'm going to send to you a voice file. And I recorded it on the piano and I sang it. And, sent it to him. He was like, man, this song is dope. So, you know, we got together and I went to the studio there in D.C. And we recorded it. And but sometimes the Lord will give me something, just wake me up out of my sleep, and I'll write songs too. So I could write it like you said. I could be in the dung of my solemn assemblies or on the bathroom, as you said, or I could be in my office. I could be at home. I could be in my car. I write from all kind of places.
You know, I think so interesting when you are a minister of music and you're also a recording artist that travels all over the world. What's the balance for you?
You know, one thing I really absolutely love, I love serving God's people. Mm-hmm. And I'm a believer that I need to be under some covering of someone, a leadership pastor that will pray for me, that I can sow my tithes and my offerings into. And here I'm at New Mercy's Christian Center, Pastor Jesse Kearney III. And that's what keeps me humble. It allows me to, because when I go to New Mercy's, I'm not the artist. I'm not Byron Cage, the artist. I don't approach my ministry like that. When I'm there, I'm the choir director. I'm the praise and worship leader. You know, I'm whatever they need me to be to help to bring the vision that Pastor Kearney has to pass. And I love that, and I think that's what keeps me humble. It keeps me, you know, relevant before the people. And it's just been a glorious thing to see. Next year, when I worked in corporate America, 30 years I've been doing ministry full time.
That's a blessing.
And the Lord has sustained and he has kept me. And so I'm so humbled every day to have that opportunity to serve God's people.
You know, I saw here, you know, I was listing all your stuff, your discography, but it says filmography. You've done 5 films?
Yes, I actually was in Spike Lee's school days. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you would have seen me. You know, I was the one walking in the background on the sidewalk. But because I was on camera, that's on my resume.
That's right.
And then I also did an episode of The Cosby Show that I think just about everybody saw. And that was the episode where they went to Hillman College.
Yeah.
And Felicia Rashad was singing Sicky First, and I was standing right behind her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you could distinctively hear my voice. So people thought they had given me a little duet with Felicia Rashad. I didn't correct them. I just said, oh, yeah, she's a lovely lady. She's wonderful. It was a great opportunity. I'm glad you enjoyed me. Pray for my ministry. You know what I'm saying? So it was a great time. It was a great time. And, you know, yeah, Lord's supposed to do some things. And I'm doing some television stuff now that I'm working on. And prayerfully, the Lord's willing, you all will be hearing some major things in the month of November as we're filming. And I'm not at liberty to say right now, but I am excited because one of the reasons I came back to Atlanta is because I was asking the Lord to enlarge my territory. Mm-hmm. I know the music is great, and I'm working on my 10th CD now. I've been in the industry now over 21 years as a recording artist. And, you know, I just prayed to God. And so by faith, I come on back to Atlanta, Georgia, and doors started opening and things started happening. So I'm just here now back in Atlanta. I'm so excited.
Okay, now, are we going to see you on a reality show?
Well, I'll just say this. You'll see me a lot on television.
Okay.
I'll say that.
All right. It'll be good stuff.
It'll be very good stuff. Because one thing that I did not want to do, I did not want to create anything that was junk. I always wanted to make sure that if there is something ratchet, that there's always going to be an answer, and that answer has got to be something that brings people to a positive place.
That's right.
And so that's what I've been creating. I've been creating different reality shows for networks and stuff like that, and just believing that God is going to continue to open more doors.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, so let's talk about the new project.
Uh-huh. The first single is called Like No Other.
Right.
And I'm about five songs in. I've got about another half to finish, and hopefully we're looking forward to coming out in the first quarter of 2016. And again, awesome. It's going to be music of passion and praise and worship. It's also going to be fun music. I wrote this song called You've Been Good to Me, More Than This World Could Ever Be. It almost sounds like a Sanford and Son kind of song. To me, it does. It doesn't have that. When I say it has that style, that old kind of style that I think people are going to really like. I wrote this toe tapper called I Can't Give Up. It's another one of those church shout and scream and run down the aisle. And so that's what I've been writing in a lot of the stuff that I've been doing. Even Pastor Jenkins and I wrote this worship song together that is a beautiful worship song that I think that people will be singing all over the world. So, you know, I got some other writers that have written some songs for me, and I'm just looking forward to the Lord doing some great things. Again, Daniel Weatherspoon is producing the whole record, and it's just some great music, and I pray that everyone who has received and loved the ministries and all the songs in the past, that you'll find about a good six or seven songs on this one that you can do in your church services as well. Because that's what I wanted to do, you know?
Now, isn't that to me, and I tell artists all the time when they're writing, you got to write with a church audience in mind. I know you can do the other stuff and you can get strange and really creative, but the biggest compliment is walking into a church or hearing that your song has been doing all over the world, all kind of church choirs, praise teams. Yeah. Oh, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah, it is. It's a blessing. I mean, and even people like Pastor Benny Hinn, who has taken me all around the world and to sing one song. Mm-hmm. We were in Brisbane, Australia, and we were just big time to see him. And I was sitting there, and Pastor Donnie McClurkin was on that trip as well. We were the two music guests. And so Pastor Benny said, "Buddy, come here, sing my song, The Presence of the Lord is Good." And, you know, he carried me to Brussels, to South Africa, all throughout Africa, Japan. I've gone so many places with him, and he always requests that one song.
That one
then
song.
Whatever else I want to say, he lets me do. But when I get to that song, I mean, he dances, and he has himself a good time. So it's been a great, great honor to know that so many people love my music, and they love to sing it in the church, the praise team. And so that's why I always make sure that I have music that can be done in the church. Because there's nothing wrong with that. Look, God, you a little guy. What's wrong with you? I can't do that on Sunday morning. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's a young adult service. You know?
Oh my gosh.
And there's nothing wrong with that, again, because that has its place.
Right.
But that's not going to make, you know, Mother Pinkins on the front row.
There
that
you
ain't
go.
Going to make her shake her head and cry and put a handkerchief in her face. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They
want to
feel that sense of church. That's why we can't forget hymns.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, I did an arrangement of Old to Be Kept on the record.
That's a good one.
A church tear down shout song.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Because there still is something that we enjoy around this nation. It's called church. Now, I love the CCM music and the Hillsong. I love all of that. But there's still a remnant of Black African-American churches that like church music.
They're
There's some individuals that like to get away from it, and they sing the white art songs, and they record them. And, you know, that's fine and that's good. I have no problem with that. But I say, don't forget our experience is important as well.
Yeah. You know, we meet a lot of young musicians who don't even know how to play a hymn. And we are so amazed by that. Don't know the words. Don't know how to play it. Don't know the music. Mm-hmm. I never heard that before. Really? Where did you come from?
Yeah. My mom taught me the hymns. You know, and when I was a teenager growing up, my heroes were people like the Winans and Keith Pringle. And I was trying to learn how to play all those gospel songs. And mother said, "You need to learn how to play some hymns, son."
That's right.
But she would sit at the piano with me, and she'd go to singing something, and I played the chord. She'd say, "Nope, it's wrong."
Mm-hmm.
She would play the right chord, and I'd be like, look at my mama. You know? Try to tell me what to do. That's a glorious thing which made me love hymns growing up in the church. And again, that's why I still love hymns to this day. I love hymns.
Yeah. And we can't forget them. Like you said, CCM is great. You know, Hillsong, all that stuff is great. But the old hymns...
Absolutely.
That's it.
We can't forget our experience. Because it's almost like we want to shy away, like some way, somehow our experience is soulish, but it's not real true worship,
right,
you know. And,
right.
and to me, I thought worship was a relationship with God that we have with him one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And when we get into a corporate situation, if one person likes to play the tambourine and the other one likes to play the acoustic guitar, that's fine. But let that be their experience. And I don't want to shun the African-American worship experience, and I think that we have a great thing. Mm-hmm. Do we like to shop? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do we want to lay out on the floor and roll around? Absolutely. but let us praise God. If you decide you want to sit there and just lift your left hand up a half an inch, we'll go for it. Do what you do. But I just grew up in the church, and I love church. I still love church.
Yeah, I love church music, too. I really mm-hmm. do. Old and new. I love it all.
Yeah.
All of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little lady call me one Sunday. I was playing something by Kirk Franklin, and she was offended. And she said, "Why you? That's not church music." And mm-hmm. I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "But I just play When the Gates Swing Open for you, mm-hmm. but I have to play this Kirk Franklin for somebody else, and we have to be able to reach everybody."
That's
so,
right.
You know, she was mad with me because I was playing Kirk Franklin.
Yeah, that's what, but you know what? I just really applaud you for allowing variety to be on your show, to give everybody a chance from Mary Mary to James Cleveland, you know, because it's important
right.
that our experiences musically, you know, are brought to the forefront so that it can be, excuse me, a tremendous blessing. That's why I get excited about some of these new artists, especially like Anthony Brown right now.
He gets
it.
Oh, my God.
And when I listen to his
worse?
Music,
oh
he can go to church or he can go to worship.
Yes, he can.
He can do all of it. That's why I always admonish our people. Let's not forget our experience, too.
Mm-hmm.
You can do other things, but make sure you get some music for the church.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's an awesome musician. Awesome yeah. artist. Awesome
very
artist.
Talented. Very anointed.
So, the new one already
yeah.
out. We're playing it.
I
and
appreciate it.
We're going to look for 2016, early 2016, for the project to be finished.
Yes, we're looking between January and March for everything to
okay.
be completed and for it to be out in the industry. So I'm just excited, and I appreciate you playing like no other and letting your listeners enjoy that. It means the world to me, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do with this next project.
All right, Byron, we're going to be looking for you in November. I don't know what, but we're going to be looking for you in
yes.
November.
Yes, and it's going to be very positive. It's going to be very good.
All right. Thank you so
All
much
right.
for joining us, Byron Cage.
Thank you, Tawna Black. I appreciate it.